B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their home.
Who sings this, McCone?
I don't know, but it's Brandy. I love this song.
Yep, Looking Glass. Look it up. You need to know this stuff, man.
I know. Brandy's a great song. I'm in on this. So I love the vibe we got right now.
If you're ever at a wedding and you're feeling it, like, you know, Wedding Crashers, and you get up on stage and say, hey, you guys know Brandy? And they're like,
sings it.
Oh, yeah. Looking Glass. Look it up. They have to look up the sheet music.
They can't look it up through the title of the song. It has to be artist.
Good for Newport.
I mean, this is big time. Big time Newport vibe.
In the scenario of Tim McCone jumping up on stage with a wedding band, I think, I think him saying, do you guys know Brandy, would be enough. And they either know
they
don't.
They should know it.
You're either jumping up, back
you're,
off
you're jumping up to sing that or Brown Eyed Girl. Like, that's the two ones. Or Somewhere Beyond the
Sea. You're going to get up there and cover Van Morrison.
I've done it.
Who's been
at my
this?
Wedding? I sang Brown Eyed Girl at my wedding.
I heard a good story about you at a wedding over the week. Yesterday.
I gifted them gifts from the wedding.
This is the story as was told to me yesterday. Zoe was at a wedding at a very nice place in Newport.
Oh, yeah, swanky.
Nice hotel. Zoe took off the wall of the lobby a large framed
boat
photograph.
America's
of,
race.
Yeah, like America's Cup or something, complete with a little lamp attached to it. Mm. Unplugged the lamp. Took the photo off the wall.
Ripped it off the wall.
Took it up to the bridal suite.
In an elevator.
Got your wedding gift.
Congratulations.
This is for you. Yeah.
Brought it in.
Put this above your mantle.
Put it on.
After you mantle.
Yeah, or after you consummate the marriage, mm-hmm. Put it on the couch and left. 15 minutes later, a much quieter but more deliberate knock. Security.
Hey, you guys have that picture? Yeah.
We saw a gentleman in the lobby, and then in the elevator, we have security footage of him taking this. We need the portrait back. We
it's a nice painting.
What do you think, Max? It's got 3 speeds.
Oh!
He's talking about the rice
you mean
cooker.
That photo. This is not an actual gift. It's still got the cord hanging
they didn't
down.
Know. The wife
a
loved
thin
it.
Thin layer of dust on the top of the frame.
Yeah. The wife loved it. Her husband Paul goes, "What are you doing?" Yeah, we don't have the wedding there. Yeah,
yes, their fault. Wick Grosbeck called into Felger and Maz last day we were here on Tuesday, though, and there was some great stuff. And Wick's always a good guest when he calls in, so we wanted to listen to the question about Danny Ainge and whether or not he was asked to leave. And there's a follow up to this too. It goes on for about a minute.
Wick's been really, really good with these guys over the years.
Oh, yeah.
As far as accountability, coming in, driving his own car into the studio, getting on the phone with these guys. This is as I don't want to listen to the tone. It is as quick and bothered he is with, I just think, the state.
Well, not
of the
immediately.
He's well, not, to, no, but it escalated a little bit.
All right. Well,
let's listen.
Here we go.
I've just told you that I didn't use the word quit, but I've just told you he came and said he wanted to step down. So, that's what happened. I wouldn't say quit. I would say gracefully retired after 19 years. But I've answered a lot of questions. You know, we may have been talking for 19 years or a lot of years. Anyway, and if I answer a question, I'm telling you the truth. If I don't answer a question, then I've chosen not to answer the question. But the truth is, he wasn't asked to leave, and I wish he didn't. But he did, and nobody wanted him to leave, and he was not asked to leave. So I'll say it again 10 times. So that's the facts, and I think everybody listening knows that.
Okay, does Utah or any other team need permission then from you to hire him?
No, they don't. And I'm going to let Danny speak for himself. My sense, and I'm very close to Danny and talk to him all the time, and my sense from Danny is there's nothing imminent. there's nothing happening. At some point, he, for all I know, he may, if he can't become a golf pro, a touring golf pro, you know, he might get back into the basketball game, and I wouldn't blame him. He's been in it 44 years. But he, I don't think he'll ever be a general manager again. I think that that chapter is probably closed.
Okay, so there we go. Danny Ainge not asked to step down. He chose to leave. Does not need the permission of Celtics ownership to pursue a job elsewhere, but it is Wick's belief he will not be a GM again, and he's going to do something, but not that.
See, the confusing part is like when you hear Wick and not Wick, but when you hear Brad and Danny talk, it's like they sort of figured this out, this transition themselves. But there were also, I think Maz had the report going back to March that the Celtics were sniffing around to replace Danny Ainge with another GM throughout the league. And that wouldn't be the case then, according to Wick, because Danny came to him some stepping down.
And correct.
What's confusing is the timeline, how it all came together, and how do you ultimately end up with Brad?
Well,
yeah.
There is an answer to that question, too, as we continue on here. Let's see. I don't think this is it. This is something different. We'll just take them in order.
Yeah,
Will.
Just play them.
Let's talk about the mental toughness of the Celtics. This is once again Wick Grosbeck on with Felger Mass a couple days ago.
If you're under 500 and you're going to say you're a contender, you know, find something else to say, right? And I'd say that today to any team. I don't care who they are, including our team. I'll stand by that statement. And I'd never heard from any players that that was an issue. And that wasn't targeting anybody. It was saying, look, we're under 500, so I'm not going to say on this airwaves that we're contenders. And so that's a simple statement, and that's not an inflammatory statement anyway, and that's not going to blow up a team. It's not. That's just the way it is. And that's what people expect when they hear from someone at the Celtics. They expect the truth. Whatever was said to anybody as the team went through the season, I'm not privy to. I wasn't, you know, part of. But I can imagine that it was a trying and stressful season for everybody. I was stressed out by the season, watching the ups and downs. I think all the fans were. And, you know, we all know the season didn't end the way we wanted it to end up. But what we do also know, and that Ime actually really highlighted it on Monday, was there's a lot here. And there's a lot to be excited about. And players actually took positive steps. There were things to look at in the season that we're going to build on.
Okay, excellent answer by Wick, because he doubles down on what he told Felger and Maz in February. And he made that comment about, hey, we're under 500. We're not a contender. We are not a contender, which means, well, that's not acceptable here. You know, and he didn't change his tune based on some of the rumblings of the last 3 months prior to this interview the other day that may have upset the team or created turmoil or created malcontents. It's a good by Wick standing by what he said. He demands more, and it's good.
He said that out of all the things they went through, they ended up getting some mental toughness out of it, but he said he wasn't aware of all things that were said to all parties during the season, which, of course, you know, how could you be? You know, you're not going to pay attention to, you know, everything and go running downstairs every time you see a report or hear a report about somebody saying something. He also told them, he goes, I read Twitter. I didn't post anything. You know, I'm not on Twitter, but
I read
the things that, you know, people are saying about the team. And he said, there was a lot of stress. There's a lot of stress because the team was not happy with the way things were going and you can just look at the win-loss record and figure that one out.
Turn on the radio. Listen to the shows. Listen to the callers. Listen to your pregame, postgame on NBC Sports Boston. Listen to Kendrick Perkins say, I don't know how they play for this guy. Go coach somewhere else. I mean, that stuff is being said all year.
But the mention of Ime, and we had Ime Udoka on with us on Tuesday for the first time. We had a chance to talk with the new head coach, and he mentions a new voice for the room. We'll hear what Wick had to say about that. When we continue here momentarily, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, so and I did not get a chance to react to the Wick Grosbeck phone in to Felgramas. So we're listening back to some of it now. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy in for Beetle. You want to take a quick call here first?
Yeah.
We've got a Chris in Hartford who wants to talk about the Celtics and Danny Ainge. What is it, Chris?
Hey, Hardy. Hey, Zo.
Hi.
So I called in, all right, yesterday into Felgramas. And the one question that I want answered was, Danny Ainge left. If he decided or they decided, why weren't his comments regarding not taking the opinion of NBA players up to snuff and taking them seriously, kind of like classes versus class? Danny did not think that they maybe had any type of insight in worldly affairs. And Brooklyn beat us. The next day, they dropped these comments into the public eye. That's the first time we heard about it. I asked Felger. And then Danny leaves, and I asked Felger, I said, why don't you bring that up? That's a black mark on Danny Ainge. That's horrible what he said.
Well, I mean,
and he goes, that was three years ago. Wick wouldn't want to talk. No, it came to notion. It came to light the day after Brooklyn. That was 3 weeks ago.
Danny was asked by Tutcher and Rich when he was out playing golf the day after Kyrie dropped that bomb. And Danny answered, and I think Danny answered in this respect. I'm not defending Danny. But I think Danny, when you do what Danny does, like he casually just said, I really don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just worried about getting basketball players. And when you're in the sport and you're building the sport and you got horse blinders on, you really don't care what popular people tell you or how you should think. I think Danny's just looking, can this guy play? Can he defend? Is he a one? Is he a two? Is he a three? Can he be a three or four? Can we make this guy play the five? Are we a better zone team? Who's my sixth best player? And you get so close-minded. And maybe that's obviously Danny's fault that he didn't take everything in, because I think Danny cares about the players. Every time you see Danny, he's always at the gym. He's always talking to Brad. He's always doing what? He's sitting back with his legs crossed, with his arm around one of the players in the pregame, whispering in his ear. And maybe that bugged Brad, because why is a GM talking to everybody on the team? But I think Danny's trying to, like, Danny has a lot of information in the league to give because he played the game and he played it at a high level and he won championships. And I think one of the biggest things I think Danny had is disconnect with players, because Danny even told the morning show, you walk in and guys are getting treatment, there's no eye contact. There's no eye contact in shoot arounds. They all got headphones on. And they're staring at their phones. Nobody talks. He goes, when we went in to get treatment, hey, Al, how's your kids? How they doing? Your pop's coming in for the game. It's a different world now. It really is. And this is we can't pay attention.
Right. It's a bunch of individuals doing their individual things. However, to Chris's
point. And I'm not saying that's a bad or good thing. You know what I mean?
But to Chris's point, I didn't hear all of that. I'm not going to. Put this on Felgramas because I didn't hear the interview in its entirety. We still have more clips to listen to here. But, asking whether or not Danny was asked to step down or whether it was a mutual thing, I suppose they could have followed up with, well, what about him saying that, anything a player says really doesn't have that much impact on me? And I think maybe the more inflammatory comment was, I'd be more interested in what Greg Popovich has to say, or there was another GM or coach that he brought up.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. It's like, well, what is that supposed to mean? Okay,
Well, the problem was Danny brought up the Hollywood elite too. I don't need anybody, actors.
Right.
Think.
So, could you ask Wick? It's like, well, did that commentary create kind of a problem? At that point, all Wick has to say is no, and he decided to step down, and that's it. And I think you're gonna, hear the beginning of the irritation in this next clip.
Yes, good.
When, Wick mentions, "Hey, we got a new head coach here. Ime's here." But they still wanted to talk more about Danny, and well, this is what happened.
Did you think you needed to get a new voice and a new set of eyes in here? Because
yes, this is just talking about Ime. The clip after this one, so we'll do them in the same order, though. Will, go ahead and restart that one, please. I'm sorry, Billy.
Did you think you needed to get a new voice and a new set of eyes in here because your players were disconnected from your coach and your GM? Do you think they had tuned out Brad?
No, I don't think so. I think that there was plenty that didn't go great during the season, but I wouldn't point to Brad. In fact, Brad's the kind of person that if he felt at the end of a full season, if he felt that he wasn't up to snuff, he would or wasn't coaching the best, he'd be the first to say it. If I had asked him that at any point, he'd probably say, yeah, I could do things better. If you asked him today, he could say he could do things better as a team president. That's Brad's nature. He's very self-critical and self-aware and very humble. I didn't have any negative thoughts about Brad except that he's coaching as hard as he could. And, we took one in Brooklyn. What was that? In Boston that Saturday night. Cut it to 2-1. And then we lost, and then we lost. And it was pretty frustrating to lose. But that wasn't on Brad's shoulders. That was a team effort and ownership and we'll all take it. We all lost, and we got to live with it.
So there's kind of like a connection there where he's talking about, was there a disconnect with Brad or with Danny? But, all right, Wick is saying, Brad, this is what I've been saying about Brad all along. Brad doesn't need to have anything pointed out to him.
No.
In terms of the successes or the failures of the team or his own personal successes or failures. I think Brad Stevens is a supremely aware guy, both in terms of himself and his players. And if there was a disconnect, I'm sure Brad knew about it and felt it.
And there were small comments made throughout the course of the year about, remember when he was on with us and he said, I owe it to the team to see it through this year. During a very difficult year in the pandemic. Maybe that was the first inkling of, it's starting to wear on me here. But I owe it to the team. And even Wick said it there. Brad was always going to see it through to the end, even if he did feel that something was lacking there. Right. Brad felt he... And so that tells me this has been talked about for a while.
So this next cut, this is the one where it's going to go back to the Danny Ainge stuff, and Maz is asking a question, and it goes a little bit south here.
I'm just trying to understand the process. Did Danny, bring you some names, and you talked about them?
This is like an episode of Clue or something.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about our new coach that we hired the other day?
We'll get to that. Yeah, we're just trying to understand how this all went down.
Let's save a little time for the new head coach of the Celtics. Just eventually. All right, so what's this question?
So, trying to understand the process, was it a case where, Danny would come to you with a name or two or a handful of names from people?
Matt, here's the process. Danny said he was stepping down. We put a list of paper together. I added Brad's name to the list. And very soon, before I interviewed anybody for the president job, not a soul, not a syllable, not a text to anybody, we hired Brad. So that's the end of that process.
If he wasn't the president, would he still be your coach?
Who knows? Probably. If he wanted to be, he would be. That's for sure. He wasn't even be let go.
Do you talk to your players?
I told you that in February, and I'm telling you that in June. So that was absolutely correct. He would still be the coach if he wanted to be the coach. He preferred to be the president.
Do you talk to your players about that? And how did they feel about that? And what did they say about
it? Enough. Let's move on.
Good job questioning.
Yeah.
Excellent. They just want to know the timeline. We all do. So he was given a list. They did make a list of potential guys they want to talk to. Wick personally added Brad's name to that. Did they stick it up on a bulletin board? And Brad came in one day and said,
Maybe they did like the Felgram-Az big board.
I kind of
like
that.
Maybe they threw the highlighter.
Maybe they hit him with the highlighter.
Yeah. Maybe they broke a TV. Wick's all done talking about that.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, Brad was hired. That's it.
It was just so quick and odd. That's all. People want to know.
Let's move on to the money situation and the cap situation. Here's the question and answer on that.
As you said, you were hard cap last year. Are there any restrictions on what you can do financially with the roster this year?
I don't actually know what exactly our cap situation is. We don't have free agent room, because there's like three guys who got a lot of minutes that are up for contract renewals or extensions right now. And we don't talk about, we really try hard not to talk about future contracts and particular guys. But there's three guys that need to, the roster is not complete. So there's a lot we have to go do. And then there's a lot of potential trades, I would imagine, just reading, the wires and thinking a little bit and talking a little bit to Brad. There's a lot of stuff that could happen this summer. So I don't really know what the roster is going to look like in August, and it's going to be a very busy July. But we're not hard capped or anything like that, but we are going to have to be clever. And if we're going to take in money, we're going to, by cap rules, we're going to have to send money out, as you know.
So that got me to thinking about, some of the changes that we were expecting. And I was, McComb, we talked about this the other day when we had Ime on and his praise of Marcus Smart. And we asked him if Marcus was one of the pillars, and he talked about Marcus as a guy who is not only going to be here, but needs to be here for the sake of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the things that he does for those guys.
Yeah.
But he's still one of those guys that you think about in terms of, who on the Celtics right now could they maybe figure out a way to play without that would be desirable, a player that would be desirable by other teams? And Marcus Smart is
it's the name that jumps out, right?
He's the 1-2-3 on that list. He's the guy that, all right.
He's not good enough to be a star, and he's better than being a menial bench player.
And if you're looking to improve the roster, like you said, obviously you don't have room to bring in free agents. If you need to trade an asset to bring one in that's going to help you, Marcus Smart's the guy that's going to land you the most.
To get something, you have to give up something. You have two stars.
Yep.
You got Brown and Tatum.
And
Horford's not a star.
Look, not good enough. Like it in terms of what he does, he's one of the best defensive players, aggressive player. He's a player that I think just about any team in the league would want on their team. But you're right, Zoe. In a team where we tend to think offense first when we're thinking about our star players, no, he's not a top 10 guy. No, that's not his game. All right. So then what did Wick say about changes that are coming to the team? We'll listen to that next after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines here. And more Zolak and Bertram with Hardy and for Beetle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So do I.
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I am Superman.
I know this one. I'm not an REM guy.
Nor am I, but I'm a fan of this.
You're an REM guy, Hardy?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He sweats now.
I didn't know that.
Harmonizing goes a long way with Hardy.
Yeah, doesn't like Cootie and the Blowfish, but yeah.
His loss, our gain.
Yeah, 100%.
What does Cootie and the Blowfish have to do with REM?
I'm just saying, I don't know how you like REM and don't like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Because one's good and the other one is
exactly
just garbage.
Yeah, and you've got it flipped.
Yeah, we were talking. How long have we been doing this at the Sports Hub? 12 years, right? About 12 years now?
Yeah.
Going on 12? We come in here a lot, and interesting people we always work with, whether it's McCone, corporate Louth who's changed now. I got to watch him now. Morgan's the same guy. Beetle, Felger, Maz.
What? You know, Maz always has his name golf everybody? What? Yeah. What's the point?
So I got to know this guy. Yes, this Kevin Maggiore kid here who's working with us. So you can put him on NBC Sports Boston in there. He's got a shirt on today. I said, you wear that shirt for Tom Morgan? He said, no. Whose shirt?
He's wearing his soccer jersey today.
Whose shirt is that?
I don't know. I noticed.
Turn mic up, Maggiore.
I noticed he was wearing a soccer jersey today. I don't
Maggiore.
Know. That it was a player jersey. Is it, yeah. Is it a player jersey? Who is it?
Can he speak?
I don't know.
You get me here?
Yeah, yeah, you gotcha.
It's an Alex Morgan jersey.
Female soccer player.
Oh, that's different.
First time I've ever seen, working sports, a male with a female sports jersey on. Which begs the question. If you had to pick a female, you brought up like the Williams sisters.
Yeah, she doesn't really
have a
jersey.
They don't really have a
though.
Jersey.
Yeah, not really.
Like, whose would you wear? Like, I don't know any WNBA players. Maybe when I'm shot put girls or the like, hammer throws from the other.
Well,
day,
they really don't have player jerseys
they
either.
Don't either.
Alex Morgan, huh? Why are you wearing an Alex Morgan jersey?
She's one of the best in the world.
Okay.
And they're getting ready for the Olympics, too, playing tonight. So
there it is.
I also don't want to wear... I wore this today because Tom Morgan's not here. I will not wear this jersey when Tom Morgan's in to give him the pride of having his name on the back of a jersey.
There it is.
Right.
Okay.
Lanny, name a female jersey you would wear.
Manon Raymoux.
He had it ready.
I don't have one. It is that bad.
I tell you who I'd wear. Marla Hooch. What a hitter.
Who's Marla Hooch?
Marla Hooch?
Second baseman.
Second
base. Peaches.
Get from
what?
Who's Marla Hooch?
Second base for the Rockford Peaches.
Yeah, if she was who's a Rockford guy, Peaches? Her dad would have been talking to the Yankees.
Oh, my God. She was a tactician at the plate. Oh, my God.
Both sides of the dish, too.
So that's from a movie.
You've never seen League of Their Own?
Oh, God, no.
That's your fault.
You put Tom Hanks and Madonna in a movie together and it's sports, I'm not doing it.
I refuse. I will agree. Every time Madonna opens her mouth
they're
in that movie, it's cringeworthy.
They're crying at baseball.
And same.
I don't want to hear that.
For Rosie O'Donnell, but Gina Davis is a national treasure. And
she's better than Thelma and Louise.
I celebrate her entire catalog. And she's a wonderful actress.
John Lovitz alone is worth it to watch that movie.
John Lovitz is worth the price of the ticket. Absolutely. Mm. And he's a bit player.
You know, Jersey, I might think of Cheryl Miller. In
there
her
you
heyday.
Go.
Cheryl Miller
there
in her
you
heyday.
Go.
That girl can handle the ball, boy.
Yeah.
Shoot, score. She is a good player. Great player. That's the only one that could really come to mind. Because you think of like other but tennis players just wear their tennis shirt or... Golfers.
I would wear golfers' shirts, but they don't have, they generally don't wear jerseys with their names on the back.
That one threw me for a loop. So
hardly ever.
Who's this Morgan
What threw
kid?
Me off the other day when we were watching golf in here, there was a woman golfer who had a number at the end, and Kevin told me that's because she was the X number of woman to start playing or something like that. It was her last name and then the number 6.
So she was the 6th person to play on the LPGA Tour. With that name.
Yes.
So they just add them
up. Oh, yes. I see.
There are a number of, I believe, South Korean women on the LPGA right now.
Good job, golf boy.
No. I can't remember what their last...
I know. It's common.
It's not...
No, I'm not saying it's common you come up with, but it... You know, you give common names like that.
Well, that's what got one of the commentators in trouble when he guessed that, you know, who was going to win this major. And he said it'll be somebody with the last name of, it's not Yang. They're already several players with the exact same name. So I guess they resorted to a number. I don't know. Okay. We're moving on. We have, we have more Wick Grosbeck audio to listen to. With regard to, we had kind of been leading up to this, though, after talking about the money cap situation and, you know, where they stand roster-wise for the upcoming season, the changes that are coming. Ime Udoka, when he was on with us, and spoke very highly of a number of players, called both Tatum and Brown pillars in his introductory press conference. We asked him if Marcus Smart was also a pillar. He said, yeah. He said he was a foundational piece and, you know, very, very important. But then Wick did talk about changes coming for the team when he was on with Felger and Maz 2 days ago. Here's what Wick said.
You are expecting more changes.
I am prepared for it. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying this is not to say, so I just want to say it very clearly. I'm not saying this roster, in my view, has to change because of X, Y, and Z. I'm saying we have a new team president of basketball. We have a new head coach. They're going to spend July figuring out who they want to have and what the roster is going to look like. And I'm going to be supportive, as is the rest of ownership. So it's really in that order. It's not me sitting here going, I'm not demanding changes. I'm not expecting changes. I'm happy with the, you know, I just want the guys to play. I want us to get farther. And it could be these guys, or there may be changes, but it's not me demanding it or even expecting it. It's whatever. I'm ready for it because it's the way it happens every year.
I think we were all on board and all just everyone expecting like a certain number of changes. There's changes every year on every team. But what we're talking about, changes that will fundamentally change the team. When we talk about changes, that's what we mean. That is the underlying meaning of the conversation. So, you know, Wick doesn't think they need anything, but he fully expects some to happen based on what Brad and Ime decide they're going to do and what they need to have in order to have a winning team. It's just something I guess you have to expect. You have to expect every year. To what degree? What degree of change do you think the Celtics are going to make this year?
I think the best thing that helps Brad in this situation, even if it's new for him and he's going to need a lot of help, is that he knows this team. I'm sure he knows what they needed to fix it, and he couldn't get it because Danny didn't get it for him. And is he going to have the firepower and the ability to go out and make types of moves to help Ime, you know, take over, coach the team, and give him the help that Brad thought he needed that Danny didn't give him? You know, it's not like Brad, you know, Brad's walking into a situation where new team, I've never been a GM before, I don't know these players, I've never been around them. He knows how these guys are going to react in every situation, good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the best trait Brad brings to this job. Now, the 50 other traits might be bad for him, but that's the one he's really got to excel in. Get him the critical help that he knows that he needs to help that team. Because if he may sit there and looks at it like Wick said and says, hey, we got a lot here. We do. You got those two young pillars. We know what Smart brings. See, the problem is, and I hear Wick talk about it, we don't have a lot of cap room, and we got to be creative. Creative isn't going out and spending in fireworks and all that without giving up a guy like Marcus Smart. You can't go out and make big moves and add somebody big without giving up a guy like Smart. You already did the big one. You already did. You had Al Horford, and you gave up your first-round pick to get rid of that bad contract with Kemba Walker. You already did that big one. Now it's little ancillary moves. I just don't know if they'll be big enough.
All right, we're going to step aside here. I have something that you're going to love for the end of the hour here, Zoe. Could even spill into the noontime hour. Oh. It has something to do with the Olympics, but something specific to you and the Olympics. And you, Billy Lanny, and you, Tim McCone, and you, Kevin Maggiore, and everybody, with regard to the Olympics. Something you have to ask yourself and then answer. I'll tell you what it is next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to talk sports in Boston, talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I believe we're listening to Olympic type music. Oh no, this is the Olympics.
Hello, America. I'm Bob Costas.
Nice. All right, Summer Olympics in Tokyo. There was a story in the Globe today about a couple of local Olympic team members, Eli Dershowitz, Andrew Makowicz, I believe are their names. Mm. They are fencers, Zoe.
Hard to find people to put up fences right now. 3 to 4 months out, a lot of people bitching on Facebook. And
I'd watch that event.
Yelp.
You get like Bruins Luchador out there with his postal digger.
Luchador put him up, but you got to know him and you got to provide the stuff for him. He'll put it up.
Right. But I mean, you go out there, it's like dig the holes, like different techniques.
You got to have a hole digger.
Do you lay out the, he says those are for, no, that's not allowed in the Olympics. You can't have a machinery like that. You have to physically dig the holes.
Well, remember those like lumberjack events on ESPN2?
Of course. I love watching those. You can roll the log.
Yeah. They had some of those where they got to use a chainsaw, though.
Yeah, and then you like put like the, you remember like you make the ladder as you go?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well done, McCone. This is a different type
of
fencing.
All events I'd rather watch than the Olympics.
These are the guys with the swords.
Oh, the white guys with
I don't think they're all white, no.
Yeah, they're all dressed in white.
Yeah,
fencers. Oh, well, white uniforms, you mean. Yes. Kat Cornetta wrote the column, and it's great.
So racist.
Ice in your head and fire in your heart. That's what you need. They said it's like physical chess is what fencing is like. You got to be in great shape for it, but it's all, you know, trickery, right?
You know what? You want to make it fun? Take the tip off.
No masks. Take the tip off. Let's go.
Let's play for keeps. Oh.
You and I can run around with fake knives and pretend we're playing Dungeons and Dragons out there in the parking lot.
Play for blood.
I am your keeper.
That's just my game, Johnny Ringo.
Right. Let's make it interesting.
You got the ultimate prize, your life.
We'll know who the winner. Last man standing.
My college roommate, freshman year. He lives here locally now. Honorato Wenceslao. He's from Guam. He was a great athlete, though. He was small in stature, though. He eventually started fencing at Michigan State. He was a very good athlete. But I started looking at all the different Olympic events. I thought, if you got the phone call today, Scott Zolak, congratulations.
Thank you.
We are going to put one normal person into the Olympics who is not necessarily trained for this event. You get to pick your event. You don't have to win a gold medal.
Right.
But we'd like you to be able to show up and compete and not embarrass you or the United States on the world stage. Pick an event. You need to show up there, participate in the event. It could be an individual event or a team event. But what can you do? What can you go in there and do and make a go of it for your country?
First of all, I can't believe badminton is on this list. This is an actual event, like people playing badminton.
Oh, yeah. You've never watched high-level badminton?
Do they use real shuttlecocks or do they get the different ones?
I imagine they are. I don't know. I don't know if they've got the
kind of
shuttlecock
you use, McCone, when you play badminton.
That's a smaller one for sure.
Okay. I like being. I like getting in the water.
I can't believe he
I think I'd swim.
So you think you could get in a pool and?
I just like going for a swim.
Okay, but you need to not embarrass yourself on the world stage. We're going to put a normal person in the Olympics. Again, you don't have to win. But Zoe, what do you do? A 50-meter freestyle? They're going to be done for a minute and a half before you get down one lap of the pool.
I suck. Trampoline, I'd have fun on. Weightlifting, I'd have fun on. Sailing sucks.
See, sailing is...
Skateboarding's badass.
Why can't you sail? You couldn't be out there and be a crew member on a sailboat?
Don't they have a motorboat sport?
No. There's no motorboating. That's not an Olympic event.
You know what I think I could actually
sailor
do?
You
know what I could actually do and I think I could compete in is what? Beach volleyball.
There you go. There's your answer.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, like,
you're a bigger guy.
Playing with the boys. You know,
He's an athlete. I mean, yep. You could be out there as a member of a team.
Bring your jeans.
And maybe not.
No shirt.
Completely embarrass yourself on the world stage.
Man. Right.
Excellent answer. Okay.
I could compete. I could probably give it a go.
I also think some people who know something about sailing could probably get on board. And if the craft is seaworthy, I sail out of here with the wind and the water and the waves. Ahoy. I'm a sailor now. I think some people could do that. I think you could probably pull that off. I'm having a tough time picking an event.
Shooting. I'd love shooting.
See, like air rifle, is it? I believe air rifle is an event. No, that might be a winter event. It is.
What's the difference between judo and taekwondo?
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole hour.
That's...
We'll never get to it by 1:39. Yeah,
no.
BMX freestyle? Wait a minute. BMX freestyle?
Yeah, there's no
BMX
way. I can't do that.
Or events?
Right. And
I thought these were X Games.
I raced BMX. I did that.
Did you?
But, yes.
Really?
But I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't do it now. So
what was
your
number on your shield?
A 492 was the highest shield. Number I ever got. And that was based on ranking in the state. 492 was the highest I ever got. I was the 492nd ranked BMX racer in the state of Michigan.
Canoe. I could canoe. To ride a horse.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
That'd be fun.
Frank the Tank style.
Old school. Do I get one of those?
Ribbons. Yeah.
Ribbons.
Yeah, ribbon.
Dance ribbon.
I could probably do the ribbon.
Okay. Now, McCone, I want you to think about it because, no, you can't do the ribbon. You know you can't do the ribbon. So give it some thought before you crack wise from your booth.
No, you're right.
You're right. Now, when it comes to table tennis, ping pong. Can we just call it ping pong, please?
Yeah, table tennis is stupid.
And badminton is something I played a lot.
Badminton,
especially
like
out of
10-year-olds.
My buddy Steve and I, we used to play every morning at 8 a.m., right? We'd play for an hour before work. Actually, earlier than that. It was, and we got very good. We thought we were good at it until we played against actual badminton players, and it turns out we were not good.
How's badminton a sport in this and a disc?
I want you. I don't know how
frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee. Deserves to be. I always thought I should be a good ping pong player. It seems like something that would play into my strengths.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I never had a table.
It doesn't translate.
So finally, we got a table. Just what was it? A couple Christmases ago, when T-Bone movement that 3-in-1 game table into the house for me.
How many times do you use that?
Every day. Okay. Katie and I play ping pong every day. And we're both getting much, much better. Am I at the point where I could play in the Olympics? There's no way. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think with a lot of these sports, it really is just like they're so fringe. How many people are actually doing table tennis competitively?
Sports.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
If you just started training for
2 years.
How would you be like the proud parents that have flown the country, that have pack cars and pack bags to be the proud parents of the people that are competing for the trampoline. Like, yeah.
Right, that's my point.
I took them down to Ty Law's jump zone.
You're going to
turn them loose in there while I went shopping and hit the Jake and Joe's across the street.
Oh, I've got training today. Where is it? Launch?
Yeah, launch.
Sky Zone.
You should see the flips I can do.
Tell you what, the first time we brought him to Sky Zone, I knew. I said, this kid's got it.
Yep.
McCone, I know what you're saying, though.
Thousands upon thousands of dollars of traveling and missing holidays to be,
I think,
be a guy that could compete for a ribbon in the trampoline competition.
Yeah, we're gone all weekend. We got a trampoline tournament.
Yeah, we got a big trampoline tournament. It's nice. We're gonna go see Maine. We're staying at a Fairfield suite. Yeah,
I think
it comes with breakfast.
I think table tennis is a bad example because I think people do play competitively from an early age, and you can work on it for years.
Oh, the Japanese, have you seen? Oh, my.
Well,
Chinese experts.
My cousin Gene Poole used to play competitive table tennis. Yeah, my other cousin, Tom Poole. They would go to tournaments and stuff, but play in like a senior division. When it comes to things like the 20-meter air rifle, which is probably a winter event because I don't see it listed here, do they really know they're finding the best 20-meter air rifle shooter in the world? Or have they not combed, like, the far reaches of the planet to find them? Like, when they run the 100-meter dash, right, I'm pretty confident they have found the fastest person on the planet.
Just go
get the best sniper in the Army.
Right. Have they really found the best water polo players on the planet? Or are these just people who...
These are the best of the best showed up.
That water polo...
exactly.
I watch a little bit of water polo. Like, you got to keep that ball in the water.
I understand that.
But how many
people have ever even tried it? Everybody runs.
I tried it for a little bit.
Everybody swims. Everybody's played soccer. So, yes, I think they're finding the best of the best in a lot of these sports.
Ooh, this is interesting. Road cycling.
Well,
what's so?
How about that wreck the other day in that whatever race that was?
We talked about that.
The lady got whacked.
Yeah,
they can't find her. She's missing. How do you know she's missing if you know her name?
She's out of the country.
People go missing. She's been caught and arrested.
What?
You don't even arrested know. You don't what? Even know the follow up to the story. We're not doing this now. Stop.
I mean, you put the road race cycling up there.
It's got nothing. Tour de France. That's not the Olympics.
Skip along people with their little tight outfits.
So I want everyone to think. And McCone, I want you to have a real answer this time.
I got mine.
Zoe's got his answer. I think it's a good one. Zoe's the only one with an answer so far. We have not yet asked Billy and Kevin, but feel free to call in and make a compelling case as to why you could be the citizen designated athlete for the Olympics.
We won't have
in
one
what sport.
We won't have one trampoline call.
We'll find out. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.